Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the facts, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. I don't know about you, but the older I get, my view of time has changed a lot. When I was a little child, time dragged, and now time flies. And the older I get, it seems every year it flies faster and faster. What is God's view of time, especially considering the fact that the God that Christians worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has entered time in the person of His Son to save the world through His death and resurrection? Pastor Matt Harrison joins us to talk about God's view of time on this Wednesday afternoon. He is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness titled About Time. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Before we turn to the subject of time, there's been a recent announcement about the Malagasy Lutheran Church pursuing fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What can you tell us about it?
Well, there's this little place in Africa called Madagascar, and it's off the coast of Africa in the Indian Ocean, across the Straits of Mozambique. And I would not recommend anybody go there because it's a great disappointment. You know why?
Why is that?
Those animals don't sing and dance a bit. You must not have seen the movie, Todd.
No, probably not.
Just kidding. Wonder of wonders, Scandinavian missionaries worked in Madagascar already 140, 150 years ago, and they planted the Lutheran Church. And the Lutheran Church has continued to grow steadfastly since. Of course, Africa enjoys in many places a very high birth rate, and this is also the case in Madagascar. But also, outreach has been very strong. And one thing that that church was known for from the beginning and still is known for are its mercy works and caring for the needy and the mentally ill and those who are challenged in various ways. It's a very fascinating place. There's a lot of demon possession going on. I know that's hard for us to conceive of. It'll get easier in the United States over time. But Madagascar is very interesting because some Indonesians floated across the Indian Ocean about 600 or 700 years ago and then mixed with the African population on the island. And so you actually don't have sort of intense tribal animosities in Madagascar, but and yet you have people that look Asian, and on the other hand, some look like very dark Africans, and yet they're all part of the same mixed race people. From Indonesia, they got the practice especially of worshiping the dead, and there's a horrid practice where the dead are buried and yet on regular bases exhumed, reclothed in new clothing, given, you know, set food is set before them. And here's one of the poorest country on earth, and people are spending money to exhume their dead relatives. And along with this comes a lot of demon possession. And so the church has for a long time worked very hard at reaching out to people who are trapped in this demonic activity and praying for them and preaching the gospel to them. So It's really, really quite extraordinary. And the church is four and a half million people. They are very significant, one of the largest Lutheran churches in the world. And a number of years ago, through contacts we had, I think early on with David, with Timothy Quill at the Fort Wayne Seminary, now retired, and others, one young man wanted to come to the U.S. to study theology, and he was going to go to one of the ELCA seminaries. That's where their partnerships had been. And he decided, his name's David Rakantanarina, and he decided to ask the Lutheran World Federation for a scholarship, and the World Federation turned him down, said if he was a woman, he could have gone, because the World Federation has been working for decades to make sure that every Lutheran church in the world has female pastors, in contradiction to the Word of God. But somehow, Pastor Quill found him and invited him to come to Fort Wayne, and he did, and he studied, and he went back a very much more convinced, faithful and confessional Lutheran. He ended up becoming, he was head of a regional seminary, ended up becoming president of the largest district of the church body, which I think was well over a million people. And then a year or two ago, he was elected general president of the church body and has faithfully led them and has now formally requested that we sit down and have fellowship talks about getting together. And I think we're looking forward to them. We expect they'll go very well, and we expect the outcome will be very good. We've gotten to know them very well over a number of years. It's an amazing story.
What is it that attracts these Lutheran church bodies to the confessional Lutheranism of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, you know, I'm not in the business to bash anybody, and I respect people with convictions. I'm a person of deep conviction, even though I may disagree with somebody. In fact, I respect a person with convictions more than I do somebody who says, hey, yeah, tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter. We're all, you know, nothing matters. So the World Federation has long pushed its agenda on several levels. One, that all Lutherans and Protestants really should be communing together. Two, that women should be pastors. And three, now, especially in the last decade, they're really pushing hard on the agenda of homosexuality. So they're trying to convince through their studies and published documents that, you know, the Bible needs to be interpreted contextually. And contextually in Africa doesn't allow for, say, homosexual marriage, but the context in Europe and America is different, and it does. And so, wonder of wonders, these Africans happen to just read the Bible, and they believe it. And the Bible's clear. And so they kind of have bad consciences often. They're taking a lot of money from the Lutheran World Federation. And they don't really know what to do. Sometimes they go be trained at liberal seminaries in the north and then come back home. And they kind of aren't really transparent with the people in their own church body of just exactly what they've come to believe. Or, you know, they're thrown into various crises of conscience. So, but many, many just want to be faithful to the scriptures, and they're increasingly standing up and saying, the Bible is worth more than any money that can be thrown at us from the north. You know, the folks at the World Federation, there are many great people who want to do humanitarian projects and do them excellently, but in the theological area, they really, really work for kind of devaluing the Lutheran confession. And the Missouri Synod offers an alternative to that. And people like when they see what we do. We just let the scriptures speak for themselves and the Lutheran confession speak for themselves. And just like it grabbed my soul three, four decades ago, it grabs people's souls to this day. And when that happens, changes come about.
Turning to the subject of time, you've written about it recently. Why, when you contemplate time, does your mind turn to the subject of your own mortality, Matt?
Well, you know, I see my own gray hair. And I think, as I say in this little witness piece, when I was asked what the topic was I should write on, they told me time. I had just, within a couple of weeks, lost now my mother-in-law at 91, a wonderful Christian woman. I've known her for almost 40 years, you know? And here's this lovely woman praying for me and my wife every day of her life. Wanted nothing but to be a faithful Christian, studied the scriptures daily, listened to your show daily. I guess I was overcome at the moment by the fact that time is passing, and I just cannot help. I don't know, does it strike you? I find myself, when I think of time, I just try to conceive of the fact that I'm such a speck, you know. I think of all the people that have lived in history, and right now this is my time. This is the time that you and I have on this earth, and it seems like just such a flash. And it makes me think of my own mortality. I think of my family's mortality. My parents are becoming elderly, and it seems like it just happens in a flash. So it does strike me as law quite often.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about God's view of time. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, he'll walk us through some of what Scripture has to say about time.
When the historian's ideological bias distorts or ignores evidence from the past, a bad kind of revisionism emerges.
Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College, talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
It masquerades as honest history. Such revisionism needs to be exposed and dismantled. It undermines proper understanding of our world. It has been said those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. In this case, failure to expose bad revisionism means that those who do not know the past are condemned to suffer at the hands of biased ideologues who claim they do.
You can meet and hear Dr. Mark Kaltoff making the case against revisionist history at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkett. We're talking about God's view of time. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled About Time. You have only 2 days left to take advantage of the early bird discount for the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Presenters at the conference will include Anthony Esselin, author of Out of the Ashes, Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College, Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Beverly Yonke of Doxology, Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of 1517. The Legacy Project. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free, courtesy of Wittenberg Academy, an online classical Lutheran school. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Matt, let's walk through some of what Scripture has to say about time.
You know, I started looking at the Bible, and I just, you know, I do a search online usually of an ESV online translation, and punched in time, and all of a sudden, all these verses started coming out, and I thought, wow. I was kind of thinking what time is philosophically. You know, God creates time. God is out of time. And in the beginning, that's when time begins, God creates the beginning, and there is time. And time is finite, and we shall step out of it into eternity again. James 4 says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time. And the Greek word there is literally little phenomenon. You are a little phenomenon, and then it vanishes. And yet time is in God's hand. Jude says that to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Jesus rules time. And in the incarnation of Christ, eternity stepped into time to redeem it. My time has been bought back. It is not futile. There are all kinds of warnings about living this time in a futile and wasted way. Peter says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. But we are to be purposeful. Peter goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. So we're to live in a humble way, mindful of the blessings of God which surround us all about. And we are to regard our times here, as Peter says, as exiles. We're not home. We shouldn't become too at home with the world. We shouldn't fall too in love with the world. And nevertheless, it's also true that, you know, God has created all things. He is the maker of heaven and earth. These things are not evil. They're corrupted by sin. But nature is a blessed thing. The gifts we enjoy, the vocations we have, the friends we have, these are wonderful, wonderful gifts in time. And in the midst of time, the writer of the Hebrews says, we should then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have challenges that we face, and yet God promises to help us, to uphold us. And you find apostolic blessings like Paul to the Thessalonians, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. And we know our time will come to an end. And that will mean for us eternal life. Paul says in Ephesians that God has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. And we shall all be united with him. And so the final word really is, now is the day of salvation, Todd. Jesus Christ came at the right time, born of a woman. And what were the first words out of his mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled, Mark's gospel says in Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the central meaning of my existence in time, because it shall take me and all believers to eternity. And that is time as the gospel.
Talk also about the fact that, as you said at the very beginning, not only for us individually is the time short, life is short. You have to live it all the way nearly to the end to believe it. But it is. I mean, everyone's experienced it. You and I are about the same age. And the rapidity with which a week goes by in my life is about what a day seemed when I was a little kid. And I hear from older people who say, just wait until those things are clicking by so fast you can hardly keep track of it. Not only for us as individuals, Matt, but The church is called together as the body of Christ to realize that the time is short. No matter how long Christ tarries, he is coming back. Speak to that issue.
Yeah, it's definitely the way it goes. I think we make haste slowly. We are racing through this short period of time, and you sense that ever more the older you get. And it's inevitable. You feel it, and it really makes me think, how am I wasting my days? Am I enjoying my vocation? And there comes difficulties, to be sure. But am I enjoying the blessings God has given me? The Bible says a lot about joy, that we should find joy in the wife of our youth, that we should rejoice in the Lord, rejoice over his unending blessings, rejoice over baptism, rejoice over the forgiveness of sins. And cognizant of our mortality, but confident of the Lord's blessings, it is more than possible to live a joyous life. Now, on the other hand, of course, there may be things out of our control that happen to us, crosses that we have to bear, depression, challenges of mental illness, tragedy that strikes us for no apparent reason, and yet all things work together for good. It's purposeful, just like the cross of Jesus is purposeful. And so with Paul, I say, even though it smarts, it will not rob me of joy. I rejoice also in my sufferings, for suffering produces hope, and hope does not disappoint.
Set not only in contrast to the brief nature of our lives here in time, but also together with it, we are redeemed in time to spend a timeless eternity resurrected in Christ's kingdom fulfilled. That is the hope. We have a hope that really tells us that when all things have come to their consummation, we will have all the time in the world. And that's a great comfort, isn't it?
It's an unfathomable comfort. I believe it. Lord God, help thou my unbelief. I believe it, and I speak it often, and I speak it always around those facing death. I told my dear mother-in-law numerous times this past year as she was ailing, there's nothing to be afraid of. Christ has covered all. You're his baptized child, and you shall wake up refreshed in eternity, and we will enjoy each other's presence, physical, body and soul presence forever. So we will be reunited very soon.
Here in time, we have work to do, Matt, and you see that from a perspective that many church leaders do, that the kind of the big piece, kind of the looking down and seeing how burdensome life's tasks are, even though God gives them to us, he intends for us to enjoy them. Speak to the person who says, this is often the case with the elderly, I'm done with time. I'm ready to go. I've had enough. How would you speak to them pastorally?
Yeah, I have spoken many times. I remember a very significant occasion, Henry, quite elderly that time, and he would lament his age. He was probably 96 or 7 at the time. I was visiting him in the nursing home, bringing him the Lord's Supper regularly as a pastor, and he says to me one day, Pastor, I got a problem. What's the problem, Henry? I can't die. And here was a man who had been through it all. His health was failing. He was weak. And he just wanted to go to heaven. But it had not been the Lord's will up to that point. And he complained about not having any purpose in life. And I reminded him gently, and I've become ever more humble about trying to remind an elderly saint of anything. But I reminded him, Henry, the greatest gift you're going to give to your family is to show them how a Christian man dies in Christ. And that's your purpose right now. And you have been a wonderful blessing to your family, and you're going to be a blessing until the Lord is done causing you to be a blessing on this earth. So that's the cross that the elderly bear. The challenge of looking death straight in the face and seeing instead the hand of God working blessings in spite of how horrible the situation may look. And that's just what God did in Jesus, exactly. And it's exactly what he does with us.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled About Time. You can find out more about the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. The Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Matt, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Todd. God bless you and yours.
In the last half hour of the program, we're going to be talking about a New Yorker column titled Millennial Evangelicals Diverge from Their Parents' Beliefs, the Separation of Families at the Border, Climate Change, and Various Progressive Causes Have Galvanized Young Christians. Pastor Jeff Hemmer will be our guest. You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
At Adventist Lutheran Church in Zionsville, Indiana, God's Word and sacraments work to forgive sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join the rich heritage of traditional liturgy in our Sunday morning worship.
You can find us online at adventlutheran.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During August, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Lutheran Education Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.